The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald. I'm Garen Perro, columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We've got a newbie today, Mamba Exploration, a WA-focused gold, nickel, PGE and copper explorer, which only debuted on the market on February 5 under the code M24 after an IPO that raised $7 million at 20 cents a share. The shares have gone well too, and they were last quoted at 30 cents, which gives a market cap of around $19 million. So Mamba is as lightly capitalised as they come, giving it just the sort of leverage to exploration success that Gary Pirro likes to see. Mamba came to the market with four key projects in the Ashburton, Kimberley, Darling Range and Great Southern regions of WA. The Ashburton and Great Southern are prospective for gold, whilst those in the Kimberley and the Darling Range are prospective for a suite of base metals such as copper, nickel, manganese and PGEs. On listing, Mamba promised a strong news flow for the rest of the year across the four projects, with an immediate focus on Great Southern and Darling Range projects. Each one has an interesting story behind it, and for that we have with us Mike Dunbar. Mike is Mamba's Managing Director and is well known on the WA mining scene. With that, I'll say good day to Mike and say thanks for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Barry, and thanks for the opportunity to introduce Mamba to your listeners.
Great. Now, I've just said that you're well known in mining circles, but for those who haven't followed your career and you're involved in some of the big discoveries over time, it would be great if you could give us a bit of a snapshot on your professional career leading up to becoming Mamba's MD.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Yeah, I've been playing around in the minerals exploration game over in Western Australia and around Australia and around the world for around 25 years, and I've been working in a range of commodities from gold. A lot of my experience has been in gold. I was involved with the discovery, development, and delineation and development of the Thunderbox gold mine, which is now owned by Northern Star after their acquisition of Saracen. So I was working there in the late 90s and early 2000s. Also experienced developing the Dalgaranga gold mine in Western Australia and discovery of a number of other plus 1 million ounce gold projects in Australia. I've also had a fair bit of experience exploring for nickel. When I was working for Lion Ore, I spent about 6-7 years at Lion Ore and made the discovery of the Waterloo and Amarak nickel deposits in Western Australia, as well as a number of other suite of nickel sulfide discoveries worldwide. I've also had a fair bit of experience in copper exploration, working for Exco Resources, which I left Exco around 12 years ago now, working on the Concurry Copper Project, which was eventually sold to Xstrata and is currently being mined. So a range of experiences there over 25 plus years of experience. So great opportunity to now be involved with Mamba from inception through the IPO process and now onto exciting exploration stage.
Right, okay. Now, if you let me indulge myself a bit, Thunderbox you mentioned, an old Lion Ore discovery, I think, originally.
That's right, yes.
There's some myth around the name of it. I was once told that it was because the geos only had a Thunderbox, which to those who don't know is the can in an outside dunny to use. But other people tell me it was because there was a big lightning show in the sky one night and Thunderbox came up, became the name. Do you recall which one's true?
It's not the latter, put it that way. it was when I first started working there, we had just finished the first diamond drill hole and it was a very basic exploration camp that we had, which was actually – as would have it, was very, very close to the Waterloo Nickel Mine, what turned into the Waterloo Nickel Mine. And the Thunderbox was quite close to where the surface expression of Waterloo would actually be. So, yeah, it's a strange set of stories, that one.
Yeah, good one. Okay, now, I've mentioned the four key projects. Let me be a bit indulgent again here and kick things off with my personal favourite, the Darling Range project. What have you got there and what's the forward plan?
Yeah, Darling Range is a very hot part of the exploration strategies in Western Australia at the moment, with Chalice's Julimar discovery and a number of other discoveries in the region, made by a number of our peer companies, Caspian Resources, Pursuit Minerals and Mandrake Resources, for example. We've got a number of three main tenement areas there, ranging from Mistake Creek, a southern tenement, to Black Hills and Batty Bog, three tenement areas. The strategy there is they're very early stage projects. What we've done is we've actually already, since we've listed only 6 weeks ago now, we've already flown a VTEM survey over the entire project area. Mm-hmm. And we've just released initial results from those, which have identified a number of conductors on each of the tenements with some very interesting bedrock responses that really need to be followed up. So that's a really exciting stage for us right now to have within a couple of months of listing, straight into a VTEM survey and identified conductor. So it's a good first step. Mm. From this VTEM or aerial survey, we'll now go into fully evaluating each of those target areas and those conductors through a combination of geochemistry, soil and auger geochemistry, and on-ground moving loop or fixed loop geophysics before drilling any targets that we define. So we've got a stage program there, very, very methodical. That's really what you have to be when you're looking at these types of deposits. But we've got an exciting project and program going forward for it, and it will be the focus for the next 3 or 4 months.
Mm. You're a geologist, so you should be able to clear up for me. You call it the Darling Range. Others call it the West Yilgarn, and there's other names still. Are we talking about the same rock types, are we, or same structures? Or
yeah, the Darling Range of projects, the Darling Range area, it is the Western Yilgarn. It's just to the east of the Darling Scarp or the Darling Fault, which is the boundary between the Yilgarn Craton or Yilgarn Block, and the Perth Basin. So it's effectively just inside the Yilgarn on the western edge of it, just to the east of Perth.
Okay. And, of course, it's home. You mentioned Chalice on the way through there. Chalice, of course, now with a market cap of $1.6 billion, made the Julimar discovery last year, platinum group metals, nickel, copper, all very exciting stuff. So... I'm sure you're going to say you're looking for the next one.
Absolutely. No, look, it has been a very exciting time for Chalice. They've been very successful, and I think it's fantastic news for the industry that we're seeing new frontiers inside an area and inside Western Australia, which historically people have thought has been very well explored, and to have new exploration success in areas that people previously haven't considered to be prospective is exciting for us. It's exciting for Chalice, obviously. It's also exciting for the industry as a whole. It opens up a large part of parts of Western Australia. Chalice, for example, opens up that discovery and success opens up the Western Yilgarn terrain. Mm-hmm. Which is very exciting. And to move to another really exciting discovery in the last year, the Hemi discovery by De Grey also opens up large parts of the Pilbara. While we haven't got ground in the Pilbara itself, it just does show the potential of the West Australian area, and West Australia as a general area has not been fully explored as people believed it had. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Now, I don't want to push you too hard, but with the VTEM work concluded, investors always ask, of course, when will you be drilling?
That's a really, really good question. And that's a tough one to answer, mainly because we've got the VTEM survey, which is fantastic. That gives us and lets us hone in on the areas we want to get access to on the ground. And what we will do now is better define those targets. The initial conductors that we have, the geophysicists that we're using, Southern Geoscience, well-regarded geophysical group over here, they are now going to go through a full process of full interpretation, full modelling of each of the conductors. Mm-hmm. That gives us a really good launching pad. From there, we'll define the conductors even better by going on ground and doing moving loop and or fixed loop EM, which is a ground-based system, which better defines the targets and lets us hone in better. And then from there, we'll be drilling. So it is a logical step-by-step approach we need to follow. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we'll be drilling there as soon as we can, as soon as we've got targets that are well enough defined to get in there and test. So it's a bit hard to say exactly when, but we're not going to be sitting on our laurels with this. We'll be pushing ahead quite quickly and aggressively as we can.
Yeah. I think that neatly brings us to the Great Southern Project. Again, what have you got there and what's the forward plan?
Yeah, the Carlup Creek is another example of a forgotten gold region, if you like. In the Great Southern and Carlup Creek, it's halfway, if you like, between Albany and Ravensthorpe in the Great Southern. Mm-hmm. We've got, when we listed, one small tenement down there, which had a 4-kilometre-long soil anomaly on it and had some historical drilling back in the late 1980s, which did intersect some very significant, very shallow gold mineralisation. And that has sat idle since 1989. And the one target in particular that we're encouraged by is the Southern Prospect. It has had no exploration since 1988-89. So really, we want to get in there and go drilling. We are actively going through the permitting process of that right now with program of works currently in with the Mines Department. Once that's granted and approved, we'll be in there drilling as quickly as we can. So I suppose when you look at Darling Range, we'll be drilling most likely after the Great Southern. And some of the reasons for that is the Darling Range and Great Southern areas, we can work in summer and before the winter rains come through Perth and through the Southern District. So the aim is to work the two southern projects in the summer months, autumn, summer, spring, and move to the Ashburton and Kimberley during the winter or cooler months when it's difficult to get access onto the ground in the Great Southern because it's too wet. And we can then move up and have constant year-round news flow from the Ashburton projects and the Kimberley. So if you like, we can have a set of projects that we can work during the cricket season, and we've got a set of projects we can work during the football season. So it gives us year-round sports news.
It's just hard to know which one's more could be more distracting, depending on who you support, I suppose. Staying with gold, the Ashburton, what have you got there?
Yeah, the Ashburton is similar to the Glenburgh Gold Project that I was involved with the very early exploration phases in the 1990s and got hold of that when I was working at Gascoyne Resources. We grew the Glenburgh Gold Project to around 1 million ounces, and it's currently sitting about 500,000 ounces. I think they've recently redone a resource there. But the Ashburton Project is similar to Glenburgh in that it's a craton margin style of deposit. And what that means is it's not a traditional greenstone-hosted mineralised system. It's between two cratons where they've, if you like, banged into each other. And those systems are very different. But worldwide, they can host very, very large gold systems. And the Ashburton Project has got some historical shallow workings on it. and some very limited drilling, but some high-grade gold intersections in it. And the aim there is to really step back and evaluate the entire Craton margin, because we've got a number of very large structures that run through the property and have potential for gold. So we're doing, we will be doing when we get up there, broad auger and geochemical work to really hone in on a full suite of gold projects and potential in the Ashburton. So it's quite an exciting area.
Right, okay. Now, further north still, the Kimberley.
Yeah, the Kimberley is largely in application at this stage, but we've got three sub-projects, if you like, up in the Kimberley, being the Copper Flats, Ruby Plains and Speewa East prospects. They are very large packages of ground. For example, if you combine the Copper Flats and Ruby Plains tenement package, it extends for approximately 190 kilometres. Yeah. So a very large package of tenements up there. But some very, very exciting, particularly Copper Flats, some very exciting copper and silver anomalism and mineralisation has been defined by previous explorers and has never really been properly evaluated or progressed. Now, it was owned previously by Ord River Resources. Yeah. That when they first discovered it, their market capitalization on the back of it went to around about $200 million. So it did get a lot of traction, but they then got caught up in, I won't go into all the details, but some corporate challenges and funding challenges in the around 2007-08, and so ended up dropping the ground, which is when our vendors who put it into Mamba managed to get hold of the ground. Okay. So I've got some very high grade copper intersections from trenching up to 8% copper, and as significant as that is, it's also got some very significant silver mineralization as well. So the potential really is for a large SEDEX style copper silver discovery up in the Copper Flats area, which is really quite exciting.
Yeah, particularly in this market with what the $4 a pound copper and $25 an ounce silver prices.
It is quite phenomenal, I must admit. I've worked, as I mentioned earlier, over in the Cromcurry Copper Project, and back then, copper prices half what they are now, and long term, people not really knowing where it was going, and it was quite challenging. Whereas you look at $4 copper, that's almost unheard of. So it really is quite an exciting time to be looking for copper. I think with the electrification of industry and the like, and the decarbonisation of large industries now, I think we are going to see copper continue to be strengthen further, and I think we will see going forward very solid copper demand, which does bode well for anyone looking for copper and then hopefully successfully finding copper.
Yeah, the market's certainly very switched on to good copper results at the moment. Good responses. Okay. Now, you mentioned Ruby Plains there. You're not looking for rubies, I take it, there?
No, we're not. The Ruby Plains area is just a district to the east of Halls Creek. We've got a large tenement package there. What we're looking for at the Ruby Plains prospect, or sub-project, if you like, is really for intrusive-related copper, nickel styles of mineralisation, similar in a lot of respects to the Savannah Savannah nickel deposit and mine owned by Panoramic Resources. Now, the area is very, very prospective for a lot of commodities, but certainly for intrusive-related copper nickel, so much so that IGO has pegged a huge amount of ground in not only the West Kimberley but also all the way across to the East Kimberley, looking for nickel and intrusive-related nickel-copper systems. So yeah, that's the Ruby Plains really is more of a intrusive related type of target that we're looking for. So it is very different to Copper Flats, but it is in a similar area, geologically quite different, but really quite an exciting area, and just has not had the exploration that I think it deserves.
You certainly got a interesting mix of exploring in known provinces, emerging provinces, and new frontiers, really. So
I think that really is the summary of what Mamba is all about. We are not going to be just going and chasing a little gold occurrence just outside of Kalgoorlie. We're not going to be looking for greenstone hosted or sniffing around old prospects around the gold fields. We are going to be looking very deliberately at greenfields exploration in underexplored but yet highly prospective areas. And we think, well, I certainly think, the Ashburton, Darling Range, Carlyle Creek, around the cratons there is very, very prospective for a suite of commodities. Mm-hmm. And then the SEDEX styles of deposits for copper flats in silver and copper, and intrusive related copper, nickel up in the Kimberley. It's a diverse group of projects, but at the same time, it has got a common theme of looking around really prospective, but yet very underexplored region. So it's quite an exciting time. And the fortunate thing about Mamba is because we are recently listed, we're very well funded. As you mentioned, we raised $7 million as part of the IPO, and really does give us a great launching pad now to aggressively explore year round and provide news flow year round, which is quite an exciting period.
Okay, there we go, folks. So a welcome new addition to the explorers ranks on the ASX, well funded and with plenty of action to come across a number of areas. So we'll be watching with interest. So with that, Mike, I'm going to say thanks for your time today. Good luck with it all, and we'll catch up soon.
No worries, Barry. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thanks to the listeners for taking the time to hear the Mamba story. Thanks very much.
Cheers.